Blog Talk Radio.
Neither faint nor is weary. He's
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I will open the line because I see one here. So I will begin with the word of prayer, Father in heaven. Lord, we come before you to thank you for this prayer line, thanking you for our brothers and sisters that will join us and just give, they share their testimonies and their prayers. Heavenly Father, we pray, dear Lord, Father, that you would bless us this evening and bless all those that will join us that on this prayer line, Lord, from all four corners of the earth, Lord, that we would come together to fellowship and to worship, thanking you, Lord, for being our Father and our God. Bless each and every one that comes to the prayer line and help us, Lord, that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as you, as he speaks your voice. So, Father, we thank you and we bless and we ask that you bless each and every one. Now, Lord, we also pray for your word that we will share and read and even speak up tonight. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the day long that you have blessed us to see this new day. So now, Lord, as we come to the prayer line, bless Brother King James. Bless all our brothers and sisters that will share your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, I'm running a little late and maybe a little distracted, but I have to do what I have to do on the prayer line to host. And I'm just asking that you pray for me tonight because I got a few things going on at the moment. So please lift me up in prayer, but I want to do as God has called me. This is my day to host, so I am happy to be on this prayer line hosting tonight. Now I'm asking that each and every one that come, I'm asking that you press one and you can share, but I would like to read from the scripture that I have did a little study on myself. I was studying God Love for Man, and this scripture as I was reading, just the beginning of the chapter, talking about nature and revelation alike, testify of God's love. Reading that whole, most everybody know about this chapter at the beginning, but the scripture that I'm speaking about is Psalms 145, and it says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Psalms 145, 15 and 16. So I read that scripture, but I also was just doing a little study. And this, I end up just going to these verses here. And that's coming from Exodus chapter 23 and verses 20 and 22. And I like to just read this part. It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey. Let me make sure everyone can hear me because amen. Amen. I think I have my line open. Okay. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him, the Holy Spirit. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemy and an adversary unto thine adversary. You can read the rest of it. So I just want to thank God for his word because he said that he will fight for you. He would go before you and he will keep us. So I just want to thank God for his word. And I'm going to ask my sisters and brothers, may you press one and you share. Amen. I don't see anyone have pressed one just as yet. Okay, we're going to open the first line. God is good. Sister Bonnevie, 518, 650. Your line is open. Amen.
Yes, good afternoon to everyone on the line. Thank you for opening my line. God is good. My prayer request is God is keeping me. He's protecting me, providing for me. I'm very grateful. Please pray for me and pray for my family. I'm going to sing a song.
Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, song, call for songs of loudest praise. Lead me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, either by thy help have come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the field of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind me closer still to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart to take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And I'm going to read Psalms 36. The transgression of the wicked, say it within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattered himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He had left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let me not be hand of the wicked, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Therefore are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. O Lord, come thou fount of every blessing. Dear God, tune my heart to sing your praise. God, as I read your word, O God, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. O God, use our rock, use our shield, use our guide, use our comfort, use our help in time of trouble. O God, remember your people. And worthy though we be, dear Father, we come before you, O God, and worthy and holy and done nothing good. But God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Father, great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Lord, you change us not, and your compassion they fail not. As you have been, you will forever will be. Thank you for your faithfulness. O God, our faith look up to you, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us as we pray, dear God, take all our sins away. Lord, oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. We are full of sin. We are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good, Lord. The things that we're supposed to be doing, we are not doing. And the things that we are not supposed to do, that's what we do. But, oh, God, there's nothing we can do on our own, oh, God. We are asking you to lead us in the path of righteousness. Help us to forget about everything in this life. And to lift our mind and our, lift our all in all, O God, and to focus on you, the living God, who is the creator of our life. You provide for us. You do everything for us, Lord. There is nothing more. What more do we want you to do, God, to show that you love us? There is nothing more you can do. It's just because of sin why we are separated from you, and because of sin, oh God, please, God, give us another chance. Wash us and cleanse us and purge us and anoint us. Purify us, oh God. Lord, we need a double portion of your Holy Spirit. God, your coming is near. We want to be ready. Please, God, help us to forget about everything, to put away pride, to put away selfishness, to put away everything that will let us not see your face, God. We want to see your face. Father, help us. Help us in everything we do. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, we want to be like you. We want to walk like you. We want to talk like you. We want to do the things you do. Father God, help us, Jesus, to put away some of what we eat, you know, God, and we know it's not good for us. But Lord, we still eat it because it's nice, but it's not good for us. So, mighty God, help us, Lord. Please, Jesus, I beg you, God, to clean us up. We need to clean up because we need a double portion of your Holy Spirit. But everybody not clean, we're not going to get it. Because sin and righteousness cannot walk together, dear God. It's either you're sinning or you do the right thing. Father, hear our cry this evening, oh God. Let our prayer come before you. Do not cast us away. Search us and know our heart, God. Try us and know our thought. And Father, if there be any wicked way in us, lead us in the way of everlasting. You know all of us who come on this prayer line every Thursday night, every Friday night, and every Sunday night. Oh, God, hear our cry. Lord, do not pass us by. Savior, loving Savior. Hear my humble cry, oh, God, while on earth thou art calling. Lord, do not pass us by. We are your children. We are sinners. We need to be cleansed. We need to be clean. We need to be purified, God. We need a double portion of your Holy Spirit in our life so that we can walk where we're supposed to walk. We can talk how we're supposed to talk. Whatever we do it like what you would do, dear Jesus. Father, take over, God. Have your way, Lord. Let your will be done. Please, Jesus, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Heal our body. Sanctify our body. Cleanse our body. Purge our body. Purify our body, God. And, Lord, if there's anything in our body that is unlike you, Lord, please, Jesus, please, Lord, take it away. Buke, remove, and destroy it and put it away so that our body can be clean to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, please heal the sick, feed the hungry, close the naked, open shelter for the homeless. Oh, God, have mercy. The year starts yesterday and the day, the year almost done. Lord, the time is running so fast. The way you have something to do, you have to rush to do it. as the day is done and you do not do it. But God, you know everything. Father, help us to be wise, oh God. Help us to be not to be like the five foolish virgins who have no oil in their lamp, but to be like the five wise ones who trim their lamp and keep it burning. God, help us. Please, Jesus. Please. All of us need prayer. Lord, all of us need a cleansing. All of us, Jesus, need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. We need you. Please, tabernacle around about us. Be with our families, our grandchildren, our children, our brothers and our sisters, all our families, all over the world, dear God. Father, so many things are happening. So many people are dying, just dying, just dying. Lord, your coming is near, God. Help us, Jesus, who know that we are going to die. Prepare as if we die. We die in you. Father God, continue to have your way, to have your way, to let your will be done, Lord. Take over our homes, dear Jesus. Take over our heart. Take over our mind. Take over our body. Take over our soul. Take over everything we have. And Lord, have your way in our life. And let your will be done in our life. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, God. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. Lord, it's almost bedtime, and when we go to bed, we're asking you to tabernacle around about us. Send your holy angel, God, to bring us your Holy Spirit be in our life and in our mind, oh God, so that when we wake, we have a thankful heart to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise that is due unto your name. Take over this prayer line, dear God. And Lord, whoever is going to break the bread tonight, let the person not be seen or heard, but let you be seen and let you be heard with the word coming from your mouth. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, Lord. Thank you for what you will do. I beg and I ask in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for pleading to the Lord for the children of God. We thank you so much for the song. I love that song that you sung. I forgot the name of it, but I know some of the words. So I want to thank you for that song. Give me that name of that song again. Lord, I feel the... give me the name of the song again. The Barnaby.
Name of the song is "Come Thou Fountain for Every Blessing."
Come Thou Fountain. That's it.
And
that's
it is 334 from the new hymnal.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank you, Sister Barnaby, for just giving us that song. Now I need to open the line for other brothers and sisters. They have pressed one, and they are grateful also to you with that prayer. So thank you. And sisters and brothers, we thank you for your patience, and we welcome you on. Oh, Sister Barnaby was saying something. We welcome you, Sister Barnaby. I'm gonna have to come back to you. We welcome you, brothers and sisters, on the prayer line, and we ask each and everyone was pressing one. I'm gonna ask you to press one again, and I'll open your line. I'm gonna open this line again because they had pressed one. Brothers and sisters, if you would like to share and give your testimony, please.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you. I believe that I'll open your line. But when you press one, I'm going to open your line again, and that will be the time for you to speak, because I don't want to open your line because you could be talking to someone, and I'm sorry about that. Amen. We're going to open 985-232. Your line is open.
Greetings, sisters and brothers. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Can you hear me? This is
Amen.
Sister
we
Brenda calling. Okay. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his goodness and his mercy and his love. I just want to thank him for many blessings. The day we moved in our new house, I just want to thank the Lord. I'm out of breath. I want to read a prayer. Dear Lord, we call upon your spirit to convict us of all sin, all our sinful nature. We desire to remove all sin from our lives and align our plan to yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We just want to thank the Lord. We ask that he help us to get our life in order so that we can follow him and go and be with him when we leave this world. And we just want to thank him because he gave us some words of encouragement to follow him. And we know what we have to do in order to do it. Thank him for every word he gave us. And I'm just thanking him for his blessing. And I'm thanking him every day for his words that he gives us to read so that we can come to become a better person. And we can call and lean and depend upon him and let him know that we want to become a person like him, his son, and we want to follow him. So I just ask for prayer for, again, like, prayer line, our family, off and on this line. Pray for my individual family and just lift a prayer for our home and thank God for it. And just lift a prayer for the sick, the homeless, and all the Alec Nation, Sister Power, and Sister Power, when she travels back to the United States, and I have a safe flight. And Sister Carla running all over the USA. And just pray for Brother O'Neill. He's always on the road traveling. Sister Leola and all the other brothers and sisters that are traveling or in the hospital or in the going to nursing homes, doing their business or God's business. And we just thank God for each and every one on our prayer line and pray for Sister Tamika that they maintain their place to stay wherever they at. And we just want to keep all our other brothers and sisters in prayer. Ask God to touch and heal each and every one of our brothers, sisters, the speakers and all on that Being Light prayer line. Amen. Pray for Brother John.
Amen, amen. So Brother John is not here tonight.
No.
Up in prayer. Amen. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming to share. And may God continue to bless and keep you guys and especially protecting you guys as you move the heavy furniture and moving in and going back and forward to get furniture, giving y'all safe traveling mercy. We will keep you all in prayer tonight. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I want to open up the next line, and we want to, if we got time, to give everybody a chance, so let us, just give me a second, I'll open the room. And we open the next line, which is 518-744. Your line is open, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and well, that's exciting news, Sister Brenda and Brother John being able to move into the house. That is just good news. Praise the Lord for that. I know they've been waiting a long, long time. So I'm just thanking the Lord for that. And Sister Barnaby's prayer, wow, that was just powerful. And I just thank her for offering now this up in prayer. And I'm just thanking the good Lord for his goodness to me and all that he's done for me and my family. Please continue to pray for Ashley and all of my children and my wife. Everybody is doing reasonably well. You know, we never know how people are really doing on the outside. People say they're okay, and sometimes they're not. So we'll just keep lifting each other up in prayer. And we know that there are times that we are weak, others are strong. So It's good to have brothers and sisters praying for you to keep our strength up. I just had a few verses here that I wanted to read here from Job 37. I was reading this a little bit ago, and I'm just going to read a few verses out of here, starting with verse 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. Then here in verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. And then at the end of this here, with God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. So, Job was talking with God. God was talking with Job also. And it all says here that men do fear him and respect God. So that is something that we need to remember. We need to respect him at all times. He loves us, takes care of us, but he is way too holy for us to even comprehend. And I don't want to treat him as my buddy, my pal. I want to treat him as for who he is, which is God. And he wants us to respect him, but also to love him. And so I just wanted to read those few verses for us, and continue to pray for me and my family. I'll be praying for each one of you. I thank you for all of opening my life.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And we will pray for your family. And I'm so glad to hear that everyone's doing well, especially I believe you said to us also week before last, your mother and father, your mother and father had moved in their home. Is that right, Brother
yes.
Rick? And
That is correct, Sister Leola, yes.
God
yes,
is so good.
Back
God
in there.
So good,
been,
Brother Rick.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God. So we God
Amen.
Is moving everybody right along. And you heard from Sister Ashley? You heard from Ashley? You say?
Yes. She is getting moved to a halfway house here very shortly, if she is not already. She doesn't have a phone or anything yet, so we cannot contact her. She contacts us on Facebook now and then, but she's doing quite well. Just praying she will get through this and be able to come out. And her children are struggling badly, sister, and just please keep them in prayer. Olivia and Caleb, Caleb is 15. He just got suspended from school for vaping, which this is his second time this year that has happened. And Olivia, who is 11, she is doing better, but she is just a I know that things are going to come up. She is a young lady, and things are going to be very, very hard for her. My wife is keeping close contact with her, and but she is struggling without a mom.
Yes,
a young lady, but the Lord He is good, and so we are trusting that He will bring them along, as He will.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Brother Rick. You know. When I think about that, I say the same thing for my grandchildren. Charlotte and Jarvis' son is about the same age. Well, the only thing, Charlamagne is 16, Jarvis 17, and Charlotte just made 16. She's going to make 16. Oh, she makes 16 on the 13th of November. And, you know, when I think about when you say about your grandchildren, I thought about what my grandchildren was going through. And, you know, the children have a hard time, but we definitely got to be praying for them and lifting them up to God to ask God to, you know, just like the Bible was I was reading about the angel. He said he's going to send an angel to help them, to keep them, to, you know, and pray that God have mercy, you know, that the children are having struggles. Like you say, we don't know what people are going through. We don't know what struggles they done been through. So, and sometimes we see as a judgment, but, you know, we got to be mindful. Don't give our opinions, but yet just lift up in prayer. I pray, Lord Jesus, help
Amen.
Me. Because, you know, our opinion is nothing when these children need prayers. So we're going to lift them up in prayers, Brother Rick, because, you know, when the children see other people doing this vaping and all these other little things, you know, they think that they cool. It's a cool thing. So it's just easily become a habit because, you know, they don't want to be different. They, you know,
right.
to do something somebody else doing, they fit in. So let's just keep them in prayer. Amen. And
Amen.
I really feel bad for the children because with them going through this peer pressure, and that's all it is, peer pressure. So we're just going to keep them in prayer and keep you in prayer because I know, Brother Rick, your heart is hurting because, you know, I felt what you felt when we was going through with Jarvis' children. We wanted to take them in, but we couldn't take them because you know why? He still had that, the control or to keep his own kids. So we just got to pray.
Yeah.
And we're going to lift that up in prayer. Brothers and sisters, give us time. Sometimes some things call for prayer now rather than later. So, Brother Rick, let me just pause a moment, and we're going to lift that up in prayer because what's your grandson name again?
Caleb.
Caleb?
Caleb,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to lift Caleb, and what's your granddaughter name?
Olivia?
Okay. Let us lift that up in prayer. Sisters and brothers, please be with me in prayer for these children. And we know we all have grandchildren, so please be with me in prayer for Brother Rick's grandson and his granddaughter, and also the mother. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, with that burden upon our hearts, Father, burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus, you told us just to give it to you, and you can take it, and you know what to do with it. So Heavenly Father, as we come to the throne of grace, to our Father, our Heavenly Father, asking, Father, that we plead before you, Father, for Sister Ashley, Lord, asking that you have mercy upon her. Lord, we asking that you continually to work in her, with her, leading and guiding her, Father. Lead her to Jesus. Father, please have mercy that she would give her life to him. And dear Lord, the children need you too, Father. They need you, Jesus, to help strengthen them, to help keep their eyes upon you, and to help lead them and guide them, Father, because these children don't have that role model to look at. They're not looking at their grandfather. They are looking at the world now, Father, because of what the mother has done. The mother has sometimes, Lord, as Jarvis, my son, sometimes they follow the crowd, Lord. They're not looking at her father was a good example. But Lord Jesus, sometimes our children go to the world and they see what the joy and the good time. And Father, they go out and they don't know, Lord. But you say, Father, if we train them, Lord Jesus, that they will come back. So, Brother Rick, don't worry. God says you living the life, you doing what you have to do. God says your daughter's going to return back, and she's going to fall back in love with him. So just trust and believe what Jesus has said. And, Father, we trust that you will help our young ones, our children, to lead them, Lord Jesus, and guide them. Lord, you say if we leave them in your hand and we just not keep trying to do your job, but if we just leave them to you, Jesus, you will help them. You would guide them in the right direction. So, Father, we pray and we lead them in your hand as we should. So we thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings that you will do for these young children. And not only just them, Lord Jesus, we got children here, our children, each person on this prayer line got a child that's wayward, Lord Father. And I just pray that you help them, keep them in your hands. Oh, we thank you that Satan won't do what he won't with our children, but Jesus, that you will do what you will. Oh, thank you for blessing us and keeping us. And thank you for allowing us to pray to you, Father, as you answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we was just give me a second. I had pressed the button. We have lift up Brother Rick's children, just as each and every one of my brothers and sisters on here have children that we are praying for. So as Brother Rick's grandchildren, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, please keep it in your secret prayer. Amen. So thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing with us, and that we all are lifting up one another on this prayer line. Now we're going to the next number, 857-505. Your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, beloved. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I like to thank God because God is good. He's a merciful God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola and brothers and sisters on the prayer line, my prayer request today is to from my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer at the moment. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola, and all individuals on the prayer line. Lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Sister Maria in prayer. Sister Miola, lift up Sister Maria in prayer. It's M-A-R-I-A. Lift up Sister Maria in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Sister Gina in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Brother Sunday in prayer. And Sister Viola, don't forget to lift up Sister Anna Kay in prayer too, because Sister Viola, she needs the Lord. Sister Viola, Anna Kay needs the Lord in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for her, that for that young lady, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, you remember when she was with Sister Tamiko and Sister and Anna Kay was crossing on the prayer line. So please lift her up in prayer that the Lord would take up lift her up in prayer, that God would give her a heart of love, that God would give her peace, God would give her deliverance. And don't forget to lift her Brother Javel in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, Brother Javel have the same thing as Brother, how you say that? And the same like how you say that, Sister Miola, the same, yeah, he had the same problem. Brother Javel have the same problem.
We're
so
lift
him
up
in prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
We're
thank
lift
you,
him up
Sister
Miola. Thank you, Brother Eli. Thank you. And we're going to lift him up in prayer. And brothers and sisters, you heard the request, and we're just going to pray for him that he will, that Brother Eli's request will be answered. We're going to the next caller, brothers and sisters. We thank you for joining us tonight, and God bless my sisters and brothers, and that you come in fellowship here on this Sunday with us and hear the word of God. We're going to go open this line, 985-209. We're opening your line. Amen.
Yes, Lord. My name is Sister Phyllis, and I'm from Homer, Louisiana. And I'm finna pray right now. The Lord asked me. Won't move a quote.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus right now, asking you to forgive me for all my sins, dear God, and wash me and cleanse me in your blood, dear God. And dear God, I come to you for my sisters and brothers on this line, and those that's not on this line, dear God. I pray for Sister Woods and her family in the name of Jesus. And I pray for everybody's family, dear God. A family that prays together, stays together in Jesus' name, my Father. And Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, asking you to have mercy upon everybody's children today, dear God. You said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the doors are open. And we come and tell you not just for my children, dear God, but we come for everybody's children in the name of Jesus, my Father. And Father, we pray for everybody's mothers and fathers and children and grandchildren, grandchildren, mamas and daddies. We ask you, Satan, to get your stinky hands off of our children right now. Because you say if you train up your children in the way they should go, when they get old, they will not depart from it. And, dear God, we pray for those that don't even go to church, dear God, and don't know the way, dear God. We asking you to have mercy on our children, dear God. Protect them and keep them safe, dear God. And, dear God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to have mercy on the Marine family, wipe their weeping eyes, go weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning, dear God. And, dear God, we ask you to have mercy upon our preachers today, dear God, that preach your true word, dear God, and those that don't preach your true word, let them preach your true word, dear God. And, dear God, we thank you for churches. We thank you for the prayer line here, dear God. All those actions for prayers and name by name, dear God. We come to you in the name of Jesus, asking you to have mercy upon us, dear God. We pray for the sick and afflicted, dear God, in the hospitals and nursing homes, maybe at home, sick doctors and nurses and receptionists, dear God. We ask you to heal their body according to Isaiah 53. With your stripes they healed, and we plead the blood of Jesus on them today, dear God. And, dear God, we pray for everybody's family. We pray for those in jail, dear God, on their way to jail. Open up jailhouse doors, dear God. And, dear God, we ask you in the name of Jesus for your Holy Ghost and comforter to God, direct and lead us in the name of Jesus, my Father. We pray for ourselves today, dear God, because sometimes we fall short, dear God. But you said you will forgive, dear God, and we ask you to forgive us for our sins in Jesus' name, my Father. And, Father, I pray for the Williams family, the Allen family, the Clay family, the Washington family, the Young family, the Williams family, the Green family. We pray for everybody's family, the Blakely family. We pray, dear God. And, dear God, we thank you for what you done already and what you're still going to do. Bill God. And Bill God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to bind the work of the enemy that trying to stop our kids from going forward, Bill God. We pray for them in Jesus' name, my son. We pray for Mary Woods, Bill God. We don't know what's wrong, but you know what's wrong, Bill God. And we ask you to straighten it out, Bill God, and to give us love, to love one another, Bill God. Because you said if you love one another, that's the commandment for us to do in Jesus' name, my Father. And, Father, we pray for that Williams family, the other Williams family, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, amen. We ask you in the name of Jesus to have mercy on all of us. And we pray for Black Sliders today, dear God, that they come back. Because you say you married to the backslider, Bill God. And, Bill God, we thank you for what you've done and what you're still going to do. And, Jesus, we pray for our neighbors, Bill God, our neighbors around us and them that's not around us, Bill God. We pray for everybody today, everybody, children and grandchildren and great-grand and family, Bill God. We pray for everybody. We pray for our churches, Bill God. We pray for everybody in the name of Jesus. And this coming from the beautiful Zion Baptist Church, Miss Phyllis Williams, Bill God. And we pray for everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for offering your prayer.
For landing, depending on Jesus, without him I will fail. Without a doubt, he is my Savior. Without him I will fail. For landing, depending on Jesus, without him, I will say, go ahead, somebody else.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for singing that song. We are dependent on Jesus. May God continue to bless Sister Phyllis and for her offering that prayer, and she's singing a song. Always got a song in her heart. So we thank you, Sister Phyllis, as you continue to listen on this prayer line. We are grateful to have you. And sisters and brothers, welcome to Advent Light Ministry. We are here on this ministry praying, singing, thanking our Father what he has done for us because he truly loves us because he gave his son for us. And now we are here on this prayer line. I will open the next line for Sister Amen so we can get all lines open. 843-206, we open in your line. You can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Sister Tymeka from Florida. And I'm so grateful to be here this evening, and I'm thanking and praising the Lord for all he has done for me. I thank him for my new home. I thank him for everything. He has provided my every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and I'm just so grateful. So I just want to give him praise and honor and glory because he is so worthy to be praised. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. I want to read Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. Praise the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So I'm thanking the Lord for always being there to help us, that whenever we have a problem, we can go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us with any situation that we are going through. He's an awesome God. He's a faithful God, and he loves us all with an everlasting love. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So I thank the Lord for everything he has done for us. And I just want to ask for prayer for my children. As my prayer request is prayer for my children, my grandchildren, prayer for the event lifeline, and asking also for prayer for all of those who are grieving and mourning for their loved ones that have passed. I want to lift up Sister Powell and her family in Jamaica, Sister Barnaby and all of her precious family members, and lift you up as well, Sister Leola, and your family. And continue to bless each and every one of us. And I also want to lift up Brother Elroy and his wife, Sister Erica, who's in the hospital. So please keep her in prayer, beloved, for healing in her body in Jesus' name. Love you all. God bless you all. I love you all from the heart. And my mom sends her love to you as well. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for opening my line. Love you, sister.
Amen. We love you too, Sister Tamiko. Sisters and brothers, I want to thank you so much for just supporting the prayer line. You are grateful. You are, God is worthy, and he make us worthy of his love. And I'm so thankful that you come and just take the time to come and support the prayer line and to share your testimonies. We're going to open the next line. We thank Sister Tamiko for everything that she brings. We thank all our sisters for everything that you bring to Advent Light Ministry, because without each one of you, can't be nothing on this prayer line. It is you that hold this prayer line from week to week. We are grateful to each one. Amen. So thank you once again for coming and joining. We're going to open this next line, 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Carla calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for the first day of the week. Now we're going into a new day at sunset. I'm just thanking him for his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his love towards me and each of my brothers and sisters, how the Lord have kept us and protect us and guide us. God is good and he's worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. And I just wanted to share Joel chapter 2. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh at hand, a day of darkness and a day of gloominess, a day of cloud and a thick darkness. And as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong there has not been even the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So we know, you know, this trumpet is not like a literal trumpet that you're instrument, but it's your voice. We're lifting it up like a trumpet. We're warning the people, and we're sounding alarm again with our mouth, with our words, with the sharing what the Lord has told us to share with the people so that they can wake up. And I just pray that the Lord will help us to continue to sound the alarm, to lift up our voice like a trumpet, and to warn the people of the danger, entrusted in man, putting taking flesh as an arm, of righteousness. And we know the only one we can trust is our Savior, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy, there's peace, there's life. You know, where Jesus was, everything was life. You know, there wasn't no debt. You know, he raised the debt. When there was a debt, he raised that person, that dead body. He healed the sick. So there's newness in Christ. There's life in him. There's joy. So may we continue to stay in the presence of God. May we continue to look for our Redeemer, our High Priest, our faithful Lord to provide for us and to protect us and to see us through this time of trouble as never before. But just like Elijah, you know, in 1 Kings 17, he provided for him with the raven. It was flesh and bread. But afterwards, he went to the woman in Zarephath, I believe, the widow woman, and there he ate bread. So we saw that the diet was starting to change. And then verse 18, you know, after 3 years, he was to go into Mount Carmel to with the Lord on his side to fight against, you know, spiritual fight and, you know, against the prophet of Baal, you know, the wicked one. And then we see he was running again, and the Lord had to help him, just like us. We're going to be faced with a lot. So may we trust in the Lord so he can help us and direct us and give us the strength, endurance we need, because we're the weakest generation, but we are the one that's going to be victorious, 144,000. So let us purpose to be amongst the 144,000, my brothers and sisters. God bless. Thank you, Sister Leola. Amen.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla. Yes, when speaking about the Elijah and the prophet Baal, that wicked woman that called Jezebel that want to make Elijah afraid, but God did wonders there. He the one that blessed. That when that fire that came down from God had did all the blessing. He showed him that when it was a showdown, God ended up being the show. So we just praise God that he always come through. God never fails. So I thank God for that little short version of that, Sister Carla, how God will overcome all obstacles. I'm trying to say that right. But pray, yes, I'm trying to pray that when sisters and brothers, when we look and know that there is a trial, know that God said if you just wait and you pray and you talk to him, he said that's going to be light at the end of the tunnel. So you just got to pray and wait on him, because he will see us through. Amen. So we thank you, Sister Carla, for bringing that little tip for us on the line. So we are grateful. And sisters and brothers, we're going to have a word of prayer now, because there have been many has made requests. And I wanted to just read you one little scripture that Moses was to give to the children of Israel. It says, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not." So I read that from Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And I was just sharing that because, you know, it's so much going on in the world, my brothers and sisters, that we cannot have that fear, but yet we have to fear God and believe him and obey his voice. So by God's grace, my sisters and brothers, believe in Jesus. What he said, he said he's going to be with you. He said he's going to help you. Believe he will do that. So I just want to thank you, and we just want to begin the word of prayer. And I'm going to ask my sister Carla to lift up a prayer. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Carla just right quick if she can lift up a prayer, and then we're going to ask for another prayer by God's grace. Sister Carla, if you can just give us a little general prayer, and, well, give us a prayer. Lift up my brothers and sisters, because there have been requests for prayers, Sister Barnabee, Sister Brenda, Sister Phyllis, Sister Tamiko, Brother Eli. Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Carla, pray. Give us the prayer. Brother Akeem is here. So if you can just give us a little general prayer, and then we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem. He is here now. Amen? Sister Carla? Okay. Okay, let us, Sister Carla is not there. Okay, I hear her. Okay, Sister Carla, you can give us the prayer. To yes. The amen. Go ahead, sister.
Kind and loving Father, again, we thank you for this day. A new day has begun. We are in the second day of the week, Lord. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for being faithful to us, even when we were disobedient and unthankful, ungrateful, Lord. We thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. You wish that none will perish, but that all will have everlasting life. I ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, our iniquity, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to surrender all to you, Lord. You heard the prayer requests of Sister Phyllis, Sister Barnaby, Brother Eli, Sister Tamiko. We also lift up Sister Leola, Sister Powell, Sister Stephanie. Each and every one of us, our family, Brother O'Neill, the unspoken requests, Sister Katie and her family. And also we lift up your mouthpiece right now, Brother Akeem, Lord. We ask that you will bless us, our family, our endeavor, our ministry, because we have a ministry within our homes. Lord, help us to serve you with all our hearts. Help us to have a heart to love as we love you, that we love others, and we show them the love of Christ even when they're hating us, even when they're talking about us. May we continue to afflict our soul for them, Lord. Bless your those that are homeless, those that are sick amongst us, those that are going through trying times, spiritual darkness within their hearts, within their life. May they surrender and come back to their first love, Lord. Bless again this prayer line, and bless the faithful few that comes and join us, Lord. It just takes a handful for this word to go out, and help us to lift up our voice like a trumpet, Lord, and bless our speaker again, Brother Akeem, and his family, and bless his voice, that he will speak only from you, Lord, and that the Bible and the spirit of prophecy is the guide that we have, along with your Holy Spirit. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Sister Carla, for lifting up us all. And may God continue to be with each and every one. Now, brothers and sisters, we opening up the line for Brother Akeem. He will bring a special message. I pray that you get you a pencil and a paper, and to write down the scripture. But if you have any questions, you can raise your hand, take yourself off the host queue, and raise your hand again, and you can ask the question at the end. Amen? So now, Brother Akeem James, your line is open. Amen?
Amen. All right. Thank you so much for the opportunity once again to share the word of God. And I pray that our hearts and minds will be strengthened as we study God's word. And if you would bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, give us wisdom and understanding as we continue in our study of Revelation 11. And Lord, I pray that you would deepen this truth into our hearts, that it might transform us, that it might not just be information to us, but that it would transform us, O Lord. Keep us to this end, I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so last time we covered Revelation chapter 11, and we started off, we looked at verse 1. We found out that when it says, and there was given me a reed, that this is a measuring stick, a canon, the actual word, like unto a rod. The canon, this canon was used, it says the angel said to John, to take this canon, this reed like a rod, rise and measure the temple of God. And we saw that that was connected to the earth, the understanding of the earthly sanctuary as it is revealed in the Old Testament. Why? Because it is given in the context of the great disappointment. What happened in the days following the great disappointment that was depicted in Revelation chapter 10. And so after this, what happened? God's people came to an understanding of the sanctuary. They began to understand that there is a temple in heaven, and that temple in heaven is the actual sanctuary that the earthly sanctuary was depicting. The earthly sanctuary was a representation, a smaller replica of the grand sanctuary in heaven to which Christ descended, and according to Hebrews chapter 8, is the very high priest of that sanctuary. They came to the realization that the sanctuary, therefore, was not the earth. But not only this, the altar that is being referenced when it says, rise, measure the temple of God, that is the sanctuary, to understand the sanctuary and its services. But then it also says in the altar, a reference to the altar of incense. And we saw that according to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, that that is connected to our prayer life. So measure the sanctuary of God. Measure it in connection with your prayer life. Are we spending time with God in prayer as we should? And it says them that worship therein, that is God's people. Because you remember, as Christ rose to glory, we are lifted with Christ and dwell with him in heavenly places, according to the book of Ephesians. And so we are to measure our lives by the word of God. And you remember, we saw that last time in inspiration. It says here, where did we read it? We read it in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 972. It says, the grand judgment is taking place and has been going on for some time. Now the Lord says, measure the temple and the worshipers thereof. And how does she explain this? She says, remember, when you are walking the streets about your business, God is measuring you. When you are attending your household duties, when you engage in conversation, God is measuring you. Remember that your words and actions are being daguerreotyped, that is, photographed, in the books of heaven, as the face is reproduced by the artist on the polished plate. Here is the word going on, measuring the temple and its worshipers, to see who will stand in the last day. Those who stand fast shall have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we are doing our work, remember, there is one that is watching the spirit in which we are doing it. Shall we not bring the Savior into our everyday lives, into our secular work and domestic duties? Then, in the name of God, we want to leave behind everything that is not necessary, all gossiping or unprofitable visiting, and present ourselves as servants of the living God. So we are to measure our lives. The worshipers that worship therein are the ones who have gone with Christ into the most holy place, where he went into on October 22nd, 1844. We are to believe that he is there and by faith enter there with him as the worshipers therein. The worshipers therein, meaning where? The most holy place. And so as this takes, I want to read some things concerning that. Let's go back to the text once again. So it says there, arise and measure the temple of God and those who worship therein. Now, it's very interesting because verse 2 then moves on. Now, I want you to see what happens in verse 2 and to realize why chapter 11 and verse 1 actually goes with chapter 10. And so as we move into this section, friends, and we seek to understand it, we're going to realize that the book of Revelation works in zigzags. But really, it's doing a situation of repeat and enlarge, repeating certain themes and bringing us right back to the subject of the most holy place. Now, where does it go back to according to verses 2 and 3? It says, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Now, I want you to see who the Gentiles are. This is really powerful because it says, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That should give you a hint as to where we're going back to. All right? Who are we talking about? So this is what it, there's a few statements I want us to look at. One is from Uriah Smith, written in the book Daniel and Revelation, page 532, concerning this statement, the court which is without the temple. Right? He states that the court refers to this earth is proved thus. The court is the place where the victims were slain, whose blood was to be ministered in the sanctuary. The antitypical victim must die in the antitypical court. And he, that is Christ, died on Calvary in Judea. And you remember, that's a crucial point to remember. The courtyard was actually saved for the Gentiles in the New Testament principle and system. But the sanctuary, no Gentile could ever enter there. And you remember, the courtyard represented, the courtyard of the earthly sanctuary was pointing forward to Jesus' earthly ministry. From the moment Jesus ascended, where did he go to? He went to the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Why? Because his courtyard work on earth was done. So the courtyard is a symbol of earth. This is what Uriah Smith is pointing out. The Gentiles being thus introduced, the attention of the prophet is directed to the great future of Gentile apostasy, the threading down of the holy city 42 months during that time. Now, you remember, if you read in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, it tells us concerning the papal system, the first beast, that it reigned 42 months. We're talking about the same time period, therefore. What this is bringing us back to is the period of the Dark Ages. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 366, states concerning this statement, the court which is without the temple. She states, the church of God below is one with the church of God above. Believers on the earth, it says here, believers on the earth and the beings in heaven who have never fallen constitute one church. Every heavenly intelligence is interested in the assemblies of the saints who on earth meet to worship God. In the inner court of heaven, they listen to the testimony of the witnesses for Christ. In the outer court, where? On earth, she says. And the praise and thanksgiving from the worshipers below is taken up in the heavenly anthem. And praise and rejoicing sound through the heavenly courts because Christ has not died in vain for the fallen sons of Adam. Now notice the statement. The statement is, don't measure the court. It says, measure it not in verse 2. Uriah Smith states in Daniel and Revelation, page 532, this must be interpreted to mean that the attention of the church is now directed to the inner temple and the service there. Matters pertaining to the court are of less consequence now. It is given to the Gentiles. For it is given to Gentiles. Now, this statement is powerful. This is a statement by one of the great Bible students. His name is Lewis F. Weir. He is long past. He is since past. But this is a powerful statement he made. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we have the inspired definition of the word Gentiles or heathen. Those meaning, which meant what? Those who are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In Revelation 11, 2, the word Gentiles or heathen refers to the power that would reign for 42 months. Do you know who that power is? According to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, the first beast was supposed to reign for 42 months. So the power that would reign for 42 months is the actual Gentiles mentioned in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 2. Hence, Lewis F. Ware states, in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 2, the word Gentiles or heathen refers to the papal church in its persecution of the Israel of God during the last days. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 2 calls the Gentile or the heathen those who are aliens, meaning they are disconnected. They are not part of the commonwealth of Israel, so they are not true Israel. And what movement or church or system during the 42 months from 538 to 1798, what movement or church and leaders within that very system was alien to the true Israel of God at that time, who, by the way, according to Revelation chapter 12, was hiding out in the wilderness. For that same amount of time, that 42 months, which equals, how do we find out how many days are in 42 months? John is reckoning this time period according to the Jewish calendar. It's the same thing that Daniel did when he spoke about the same time period, by the way, in Daniel 7 and verse 25. This time period is measured according to the Jewish calendar because both John and Daniel are Jewish, and they are believers in Christ. And so according to the Jewish calendar, there are 30 days to a month. So in order to find out how many days are in 42 months, you have to multiply 42 by 30. Now, by coincidence, you get 1,260 days. And that was the time when the church was hiding. The true Israel of God was hiding in the wilderness. Why? Because they were being persecuted by the Gentile community of the papal church, persecuting God's people for 42 months. That's why it says, and the holy city. What is that a reference for? It's a symbol of the people of God, a symbol of God, Israel. When you read in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16, it says, and I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plan the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and watch this, and say unto Zion, right? Mount Zion, where the city of God dwells, what does God say to Mount Zion? Thou art my people. So when it says that the Gentiles, what do the Gentiles do? It says, for it is given, the outer court is given to the Gentiles. That means the earth is given to the Gentiles. And what happens to those who are on earth who are believers? They are compared to the holy city in verse 2. And what happens to that holy city? The people of God, according to Isaiah 51:16, they shall be thread underfoot 42 months. That is the 1,260-year period. But who threads the holy city underfoot? It is Babylon. It is none other than the papacy. Who is given the title here? Gentiles. So the papacy, for the 42 months, 1,260 years, threads underfoot God's people. I pray that that makes sense, friends. I pray that that makes sense. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy, speaking of the papal system, to blaspheme his name, that is God's character, to blaspheme his tabernacle, that means to counterfeit the sanctuary, by setting up priests and a system, a counterfeit sanctuary system on earth of forgiveness and priesthood and ceremonies. To blaspheme God's name, his character, to blaspheme his tabernacle, that's the sanctuary service in heaven, and them that dwell in heaven. Do you see that? That's the same as talking about those that worship therein, those who are following Christ where he is, those who trust in the scriptures. And it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to do what? And to overcome them, to thread them underfoot. For how long? According to Revelation 11 and verse 2, it was 42 months. According to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, it was 42 months. So it's the 1,260-year period. Powerful author by the name of Taylor Bunch, and I want to get you this. I'll read a few statements to you from him here, but let me make sure I get the actual book, and if you want to search it up, you can find that book. The title of the book is The Revelation. All right, so you can find this in the book, Taylor G. Bunch's book called The Revelation, on page 115. It says, the Church of God is not only the most holy, but the only holy place on this earth. It must therefore be the court of the heavenly temple or sanctuary. Our text proves this conclusively. It declares that the court is the holy city, which the papacy trampled underfoot 1260 years, during which time God's two witnesses had to do their teaching clothed in sackcloth. Because the church is the only part of the heavenly temple that is on earth, hence the courtyard representing God's people, but not just that, it represents the earth, it is often spoken of as an holy temple and the temple of God. Now you remember, I mentioned before that the temple of God is not just pointing to the heavenly sanctuary, but God says, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, that you remember, we are his temple. His church on earth is his temple, and that church, as we just read from Ellen White, that church is connected, that church on earth is connected to the church in heaven. So this church temple has been built for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All through the scriptures, the church is spoken of as the temple or sanctuary of God because it is a part of it. SA Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 808, it says, the present passage is parallel with the description in Daniel 7, verses 7 and 23, which delineates a threading down by the fourth beast. Inasmuch as this beast's activities are directed particularly against the saints of the Most High, Daniel 7:25, it is not illogical to understand that the holy city here represents the people of God. Another author, C. Mervyn Maxwell, in his book God Cares, page 302, he states, New Jerusalem is the community of the righteous, the true church, the host, 3:24, which is trampled on by the citizens of the great city, Babylon. So you see, the papacy has many names in Scripture. In the case of Revelation chapter 11, they are called the Gentiles. The system is called the Gentiles, those who are not truly Israel. In Revelation chapter 17, that same system, the papacy, is called Babylon, the mother of harlots. In Revelation chapter 13, that same system is called the first beast. And so as you look at these, in Daniel chapter 7, the papacy is called the little horn, all representing the same power, a power that would trample God's people underfoot once it gained supremacy for the space of 1,260 years. All right? So in light of this, as we now move forward, we're going to see, it says, verse 3. This is where we go to a topic that many today are trying to figure out. And we're going to see it today at this moment. So it says, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. That is the earth where God's people dwell, right? It says, for it is given to Gentiles. So the Gentiles, symbol of the papal system, and it says, and the holy city shall be thread underfoot for 42 months. And remember, the holy city is a symbol of God's people who are still in the courtyard, meaning they're still on earth physically, right? Even though they're with Jesus where he is spiritually, physically they're on earth. And what will happen to them? They would be thread underfoot for how long? By the Gentiles. 42 months, which is 42 multiplied by 30, which equals 1,260 days. But you remember, a day in prophecy represents a year. So it's 1,260 years. This is the time that the papacy would have its supremacy. And with its supremacy, it would attack the holy city. And the holy city is a symbol of whom? People of God. And so in light of this, during this time, it says the same amount of time, but it mentions it now in verse 3 under a different title. Instead of saying 42 months, it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days. That's 1,260. A score is 20. So 20 multiplied by 3, 3 score, 20 multiplied by 3 is what? 60. So as we look at this now, we're realizing, whoa, it's the same way as saying 42 months, but now it gives an extra detail about the 42 months, right? It says that the two witnesses would prophesy during those 42 months of papal persecution. So let's find out, let's come to an understanding of who the two witnesses are, all right? As we seek to study this, we're going to see this powerful, powerful truth as we seek to understand this point. Now, when you go in your Bibles, we have to understand, okay, we have to realize that out of the 404 books of the book of Revelation, over 270 of them pull from somewhere else in Scripture. So when it talks about these two witnesses, we have to ask, okay, who are the two witnesses, and do we find similar language? Two witnesses, by the way, share a testimony, they prophesy, they preach. If you go back to the book of John, chapter 5, and verse 39, John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus speaking to the Jews and to their leaders, he said, search the scriptures, for in them, the scriptures for him would have been just the Old Testament, right? But the scriptures for us today is old and new. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, right? So the scriptures testify of Jesus. They bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting. If you go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, and if you go to Romans chapter 3 and we'll read from verse 20, It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, this is speaking of the righteousness that comes by faith through Christ. It says, but now the righteousness of God, which without the law is manifested, being what? Witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets is a symbol of what? The entire Old Testament. The law symbolizing Moses, Elijah symbolizing the prophets, or sometimes it might just say Moses and Elijah, or it might say Moses and the prophets, or it might say the law and the prophets, or like Isaiah chapter 8 tells us in verse 20, it says, to the law and to the testimony of whom? The prophets. So it's a symbol of the Old Testament, right? So what we're realizing is that the Old Testament bears witness. It preaches, it testifies of Jesus Christ. Hence, we come to the realization, friends, and this was pointed out by George Crowley, The Apocalypse of St. John, page 164, and also by powerful theologian and scholar who has been dead for over a century. His name is, as I mentioned, Uriah Smith, in his book Daniel and Revelation, page 534. This is what was stated by them based on what we just looked at. The two witnesses, therefore, are the Old and New Testaments. The essential purpose of the scriptures is to give witness to the mercy and verity of God. Our Lord commands, search the scriptures. They are they which testify or bear witness of me. John 5:39, we just read this. This was addressed to the Jews and described the character and office of the Old Testament. The New Testament is similarly pronounced. The giver of testimony, because it states in Matthew 24, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Great Controversy, page 267, states the two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. Both are important testimonies to the origin and perpetuity of the law of God. Both are witnesses also to the plan of salvation. The types, sacrifices, and prophecies of the Old Testament point forward to a Savior to come. That's why he said they testify of me. The gospel and epistles of the New Testament tell of a Savior who has come in the exact manner foretold by type and prophecy. So we're coming to the realization that, whoa, the two witnesses that bear witness during the 1,260-year period is none other than the Bible, the Word of God, and the men who chose to take up that word at the cost of persecution and death from the papacy. They still chose to take up that word during the 42 months, also known as the 1,260 years, and proclaim the Word of God. They proclaimed it in sackcloth. Why? Because they were being persecuted, and many of them were killed for their faith. This is why they're wearing sackcloth and ashes, because it was during a time of intense persecution. Hence it reads, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, that is my word, Old and New Testament, that they shall prophesy for how long? 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Why? Because there would be much persecution during the time of their proclamation. The men lifting up the Bible, friends, many of them were beaten. Many of them, their property was confiscated. Some of them, they were put in prison. Some of them, they were stripped of all of their earthly goods. Some of them, they died for their faith. This is why we are told in that book, The Revelation, by Taylor G. Bunch, page 119, sackcloth is the emblem of distress and mourning. In Revelation 6, verse 12, it is used as a symbol of the obscuration of light, and the sun became black as the cloth of hair. During the 1,260 years of papal supremacy, the church, which should have been the light of the world, was compelled to flee to the wilderness and hide in the caves and among the mountains. That's found in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 14, where it states the following, right? It states in verse 6, "And the woman, a symbol of the church, fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there," watch this, 1,260 days. We're talking about the same time period as papal supremacy. So this would only make sense that she would have to flee into hiding, because she was being persecuted by the power that reigned for the 1,260 years. So as we're looking at this, friends, we're realizing, as Taylor G. Bunch continues, also during this period, this scripture was prescribed, and a cloud of pagan superstitions spread over the church like a cloak of sackcloth, obscuring its light. William Miller, speaking of this time of the Dark Ages, says in his book Evidence, page 199, the following: "In the beginning of the 6th century, about A.D. 538, Justinian," this is the time that the papacy supremacy began. This is the time when it says Justinian, emperor of Constantinople, controversy with the Arians and other schismatics in the Greek church, constituted the bishop of Rome head over all others. See the supremacy? Justinian constituted the bishop of Rome head over all others. So the Roman church was already there, but there were Arian tribes, barbaric tribes that they were still facing that prevented them from having the supremacy that they wanted, until Justinian, emperor of Constantinople, constituted the bishop of Rome head over all others, both in the Western and Eastern churches, who by his authority suppressed the reading of the Bible by laymen, pretending that they could not read and understand without the assistance of the clergy. About this time, too, the Latin language ceased to be spoken in Italy, and the Greek and Latin both became dead languages. The Bible at that time, not being written or translated into any other language in Europe, it became an easy task for the bishop to obscure. That means to darken, to make complicated, to hide the doctrine and discipline of the Word of God, so far as suited his convenience, and to obtain universal power over the minds and consciences of men, and clothe the scriptures in sackcloth. If, then, the scriptures were first clothed in sackcloth in A.D. 538 and were to prophesy 1,260 years, in this situation, their prophecy would end in 1798. That's William Miller. Friends, that is a powerful, powerful statement. So the Bible was taken from the people, and as a result, many were deceived. The word and the light of God's word was darkened. That's why men had to rise up, the reformers, and many others following them rose up. Men like Wycliffe, men like after him John Huss and Jerome, and later on Martin Luther, then men like John Calvin, John Tyndale, Erwin Zwingli, John Wesley. All of these people, they rose up. They had to rise up. God raised them up to give this message of the scriptures. And in that way, the two witnesses still prophesied, even though the papacy was trying to take the two witnesses, the word of God, away from the people. Friends, I pray that this makes sense. We read the same powerful truth in Great Controversy, page 267 and 268. It says on those pages, in quote, "During the greater part of this period," that's the Dark Ages, "God's witnesses remained in a state of obscurity. The papal power sought to hide from the people the word of truth and set before them false witnesses to contradict its testimony, that is, the witness of tradition. When the Bible was prescribed by religious and secular authority, when its testimony was perverted and every effort made that men and demons could invent to turn the minds of the people from it, when those who dared proclaim its sacred truths were hunted, betrayed, tortured, buried in dungeon cells, martyred for their faith, or compelled to flee to mountain fastnesses and to dens and caves of the earth, then the faithful witnesses prophesied in sackcloth," according to Revelation 11:3. "Yet they continued their testimony throughout the entire period. Still, God's word was getting out. Even though it was obscured, it was still going out the entire period of 1,260 years. In the darkest times, there were faithful men who loved God's word and were jealous for his honor, that these loyal servants were given wisdom, power, and authority to declare his truth during the whole of this time. And so as we look at this, friends, we're realizing, wow, this is how the word was able to still get into the hands of the people. Because although the word was obscure, there were men who were able to get a hold of the word. And because of their jealousy for God's honor, they made sure the word got out to the people, even at the cost of their lives. S.N. Haskell, Stephen S. Haskell, in his book, Story of the Seer of Patmos, page 199, states the following. The time of great persecution was the period during which the witnesses prophesied covered with sackcloth. The Reformation removed the sackcloth from the two witnesses. From the close of the 14th century, when Wycliffe's translation, that's John Wycliffe's translation of Scripture, placed the Word of God in the hands of the common people of England, until the full dawn of the Reformation, the restraint which had long been placed upon the Scriptures was gradually removed. Friends, this is serious stuff. This is what we're seeing. The Bible is revealing to us that this is what it means when it says in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. That is the word of God, old one and new, two, old and new testament. And they shall prophesy, that is preach. How? Because there will be men jealous for the honor of God who would lift it up. For how long? For 1,260 days, that is years. How? In obscurity, hence the phrase clothed in sackcloth. All right? So in light of this, we're realizing that during this time, what we're reading from verses 2 and 3 is that we're going backward in history. That's why I said Revelation 11, verse 1, belongs to chapter 10. You remember, when the original New Testament was written, there were no chapters and verses. That came later on. And if we were to put it in the way that it should go, chapter 11 and verse 1 would really be part of chapter 10. But then when we get to chapter 11 now, what does God do? When we get to verse 2, I should say now, of chapter 11, what does God do? He goes back in history. He goes back in history and shows why. Now, why would he do this? Because you remember, during the Millerite movement, they were standing upon the shoulders of Reformation giants. They were standing on the shoulders, the Millerites were standing on the shoulders of men like Luther and Calvin and Erwin Zwingli and John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Jerome. And so the Bible's showing this custom of coming to a knowledge, of coming to a point of greater light, and them understanding the truths of the sanctuary as they continue to study the Word of God. God said, now let's go back in the rest of chapter 11 and let me reveal to you how the Millerite was formed. The Millerites were formed as William Miller and other men like him went back and studied the truths of the Reformers and continued to take the light forward. The light that the Millerites had did not originate with them. There were new things that they may have found out that were always in Scripture, but much of the light that they proclaimed, they inherited from the Reformation forefathers. And so this is why, and they inherited it from Reformation forefathers who proclaimed the truth and brought the word of God into the hands of the common people at the cost of their lives. So what God is doing in chapter 11 is he's going back through the dark ages to show how expensive it was to preserve the word of God. How expensive was it? It cost the blood of men. People had to die in order that this word would be upheld. They were willing to give their lives because they were jealous of God. So I pray, friends, that this made sense. We just covered those one to three verses we covered. We recapped on verse 1. We then understood a little more about verses 2 and 3 this evening. And then we'll go forward next week in verse 4. We'll move forward in verse 4. Actually, we have a few minutes, so I'll cover it this evening. Notice it says in verse 4, these are the two olive trees. So the two witnesses are the two olive trees, all right? and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth using holy place language. Do you see that? Candlesticks. So let's go back, and that's not by coincidence. During the time of the Reformation, from the time that Jesus ascended all the way to 1844, he was in the holy place. So it would only make sense in the scribe, if they ever use an article from the sanctuary in the context of the Dark Ages, they could only use articles from the holy place of the sanctuary, because that's where Christ was during the Reformation period. That's where he was all the way up until 1844. Speaking of this time, we read in Miller's book, William Miller, Evidence. He says, the angel in his allusion, olive trees, quotes. So you remember, out of the 404 verses, over 270 of them are pulling from somewhere else in the Bible. Revelation is pulling from somewhere else in Scripture when it talks about these olive trees and these two candlesticks before the God of all the earth. And so where would it be pulling from? Where do we hear about olive trees again in Scripture? It's pulling from the book of Zechariah. Hence, William Miller says, the angel, in his allusion to the two olive trees, quotes the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse 3, where it states, and the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. Here, the olive trees are used in a figurative sense and properly denote the sons of oil, or the two cherubims which stood over the ark and spread their wings over the mercy seat. The wings of the cherubim stretched from either side of the house to the center over the mercy seat, and their faces turned inwards, down upon the mercy seat, and the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was above the cherubims. The cherubims are a lively type of the Old and New Testament. The signification of cherub is fullness of knowledge. So is the word of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect in every good work. They have the whole truth. All we can know about Jesus Christ in this state. That means the scriptures contains the whole truth of Jesus Christ. That which the two witnesses and the two olive trees, they represent the same thing, the Bible, which contains the full knowledge of Jesus Christ as much as we can understand in this earthly state. Either hand of Christ, one before he came in the flesh, that's the Old Testament, pointing to a Messiah to come by all its types and shadows, and like the cherub whose wings touched the outer wall of the room and reached to the center over the mercy seat, so did the Old Testament reach from the creation of the world down to John's preaching in the wilderness. And like the cherub looking down on the mercy seat, it testified to the Messiah. The other cherubim's wings, you can only guess what it means. It has to reference something connected with the New Testament, right? Let's find out. The other cherubim's wings reached from the center over the mercy seat and touched the other wall of the room, while his face was turned back upon the mercy seat. So does the New Testament begin at the preaching of John, right where the other angel's wings left off. So does the New Testament begin at the preaching of John and reveals all that is necessary for us to know down to the end of the world. And all the ordinances of the New Testament house look back to the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and are to continue until his second coming and the end of the world. These cherubims were made of olive trees and overlaid with pure gold. And you could see this in 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 23 to 28. Again, the angel tells Zechariah what the two olive trees are, pulling from Zechariah 4, verses 4 to 6. Here are plainly told that the two olive trees are the word of God. That's why it says here, and that was from William Miller, by the way, in his book Evidence, pages 192 and 193. And you can see it right from the text, right? Because it says in verse 3, and I will give power to my two witnesses. That's the subject of verse. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. That's the major portion of verse 3. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These, who are the these in verse 4? it's referencing the two witnesses, which we found out is the word of God. These are the olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So God's word right before him. William Miller actually depicting this aspect with the cherubim, who were right before the throne of God in the most holy place. So it represents God's word is ever before him, and he is there to protect that word, revealing the Christ to come, Old Testament, and revealing the Christ that has come, New Testament. This was uplifted in the Reformation. With that, friends, I pray that this made sense, and at such a cost, at such a cost did that word come to us. Therefore, may we ever make it our priority to spend time in that word, to spend time studying the scriptures, because it is expensive. We may get that thing into our hand for $99 if we get a really good Bible. But friends, it costs so much more. It costs the life and property of men. With that, let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to value your word more, to value the two witnesses more, the scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, that we may understand the scriptures and, Lord, see Jesus in those scriptures, because they all testify of him. That, Lord, we may ever remember that he is the center, and that as we see this, that our hearts and minds may be filled with love and gratitude, that we can have this precious word in our hands to study. I pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Man, thank you, Brother Akeem, for the message. Brothers and sisters, I hope you understood that message that Brother Akeem brought us with the two witnesses, and I appreciate that. It gave me a little bit more light on it, Brother Akeem. I appreciate it, and I'm going to need that scripture again in Kings, but I'm going to get it later. And brothers and sisters, if you have any questions, I would like for you to let me know. If you may not be able to ask now, but you can call Sister Leola if you have any questions, and most everybody has my number. And I tell you one thing, you can call me and I'll get the answer from Brother Akeem for you. So, brothers and sisters, with that, I'm going to say thank you again, Brother Akeem James, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and listening to God's word, because truly God sees everything. As he was saying, my brothers and sisters, he is measuring what we are taking in, and I want to thank him that we took in this tonight. Those two witnesses, the Old and New Testament. Never let nobody tell you not to read the Old Testament. The Old Testament, that's where Christ taught from, the Old Testament. That's what he was teaching in the synagogue. So, brothers and sisters, read your Bible, and I want to thank you once again. May God bless you. Our brothers and sisters from all four corners of the earth, and brothers and sisters, we do have people that listen here from Japan, Canada, from different parts of the world. So we just want to thank them also. So bless you tonight. May God keep you and watch over you until we hear one another again. And that will be on Thursday, and I'm hoping to hear from you then. Amen, and I'm going to play this song. May you enjoy it. What a friend we have in our Jesus. Amen. Hold on.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today, than to be the domain, or be held